Welcome to the How Did They Do It Real Estate Podcast. Have you ever wondered how people succeed in real estate and what steps they took to get there? If so, this podcast is for you. Your hosts, Sayla and Eileen Prack, interview top experts in the real estate community to share with you their real estate journey and how they achieved massive success. Our goal is to provide you with valuable real estate resources and to help you apply it to your own real estate goal. Welcome to today's episode of the How Did They Do It Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Eileen Prack. And today our guest is Kevin Anderson. And Kevin is the co-founder of Grow Ability Equity and has been investing in real estate since 2005. He's focused on buy and hold rentals initially, then diversified into multifamily investing and passive investing through commercial real estate syndications across various sectors. And prior to real estate, he spent 20 years in corporate America and 7 years in college financial planning. So I'm super excited to have Kevin join us on the show today. Welcome, and how are you doing?
I am doing absolutely great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now that we're chatting and having a good time, Kevin, it's great to meet you. And thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for the invite and great meeting you as well.
So Kevin, can you share a little bit more about your background and how did you get started with real estate?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I spent 20 years in corporate America. And I guess near the end of that, around 1,000 or so, like real estate investors, I read the Purple Book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and was really enamored with the idea of multiple streams of income through real estate. So I had an opportunity about 4 years after that. A couple years after that, got the opportunity to walk out of corporate America. My wife stayed in, and I started investing in single family homes and in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then my wife actually got another role in Louisville, Kentucky. So we moved there, and then most of the single family homes were bought there. Ended up buying about 20 single family homes there. Initially, they were fix and flips, a lot of them, and bought a 20 unit apartment building. But something ugly happened in 2008, 2009. A lot of those fix and flips became buy and holds as the market tanked, as everybody knows. And by the grace of God, we kept our shirts. We didn't lose everything, but there were people right and left who were. It really damaged the value of a number of our houses. And so, that's how we got started. And I can say more as we go forward.
So when you were building up the portfolio, you went from one single family home out in Charlotte, and then moved to Louisville, and then started building up more single family homes, then bought a 20 unit apartment building. And that time as you were growing, what did you do, in your opinion, to maintain that portfolio and not get into the same issues that so many other investors had got into in that 2008-2009 timeframe?
Actually, we bought three single family homes in Charlotte, and then the rest were bought in Louisville. And the key thing we did was we did not over leverage. The properties in Charlotte we bought at about 50% of value, and then the properties in Louisville we're at 70% of value, and we were able to keep tenants in them pretty much. Really just some risk management. I had a few mentors then, not to the extent that I probably should have, but I learned enough to be dangerous, and which kept us out of trouble. But yeah, it's just really some risk management. And I think some of it was just pure luck, because I had never been through an economic cycle like that, right? So wasn't something that was top of mind as I was buying properties versus now as an experienced multifamily and commercial real estate syndicator and manager. Those are things I think about going in. So combination of risk management and luck, I think.
So then at that time, were you managing your portfolio, the properties all on your own, or were you using a property manager to help with the day-to-day activities?
Yeah, so I was doing it myself, I guess, for the first probably 6 years or so. I did it myself. Once I established the college financial planning business you mentioned, at that point, someone in Louisville who would help do odds and ends, you know, collect the rent or rent out the apartment if I was really busy. So, but it, you know, it never, I didn't miss to actually make professional property management work. So it's pretty much myself. I had a maintenance guy and I had this person who would help me here and there.
After that time period, what happened after that? Did you continue purchasing single family homes or went into the multifamily side of things?
Yeah, so I bought most of those homes actually before the financial crisis. So the next, you know, 7-8 years was really spent just slogging through the ups and downs. You know, you'd have a stretch where you did pretty well. And then because people were losing their jobs, right, you'd have people just after 3 months, they're gone. Now you've got to rehab the unit a little bit. You're missing the cash flow. So it's just really challenging to consistently cash flow during that time. The advantage was I was a real estate professional, so I was getting some tax breaks, which is good, some, you know, accelerated depreciation. But I was not fully taking advantage of that because I had a CPA who did not really want to go all in on cost segregation, where you get the bonus depreciation and the really big breaks. And so one of the learnings along the way, kind of near the end of that 7-8 year period, it's like, I got to find a new CPA. And I actually, very providentially, I was online one day and I saw that Tom Wheelwright, and I remembered he was a CPA for Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad. He was offering this wealth strategy session. So I said, okay, well, this guy knows a lot about accounting for real estate and how to grow wealth. So I called them up, and unfortunately, they were out of sessions. They said, oh, sorry, you know, we just filled up. And I said, no, you haven't. You have to help me. You have to talk to me. I've got two kids. I got to send them to college. I got to, you know, leave them a legacy. I got to, you know, retire one day. And so they said, okay, well, let us go in and see if we can squeeze you in. So they came back and said, you know, yeah, all the partners were filled up, but Tom said he would actually do it himself. So we got to do this wealth strategy session with Tom Wheelwright himself. And it was amazing because he was able to tell us why we needed to fire our CPA. We should have been doing cost segregation all along. And don't worry about the depreciation recapture. There's ways to handle that. And importantly, because he had thousands of clients who were in real estate, who were wealthy from different means, from business, you know, having businesses to real estate, to being traders of options and stocks and things like that, you know, he basically had us do research to figure out what was our best fit. And we decided that, you know what, we don't want to potentially buy a job by buying a business. I had done some trading on the side, stocks and options, didn't want to do that all day. So we decided to stay in real estate. And then he opened up this whole world of syndications. It's like, I didn't know that you could actually go in and buy a multi-million dollar building, be part of that owner group with $50, or you could be part of the sponsor group with maybe $100,000 to $200,000. And as a passive investor, you could double your money. As a sponsor, you could 5 or 10x your money. I never knew that. So that was amazing just to discover that whole world. And so yet we decided, yes, we want to do that. And we proceeded to passively invest at that point. Multifamily was the base, but we also ended up investing in self-storage, home communities, and oil and gas and other hard assets. Because what he said was, what you want to look for are assets where they're cash flowing, they appreciate, and they offer tax benefits. And all those categories I mentioned, did all those things. And my wife was still in corporate America with a high income. So we were paying a lot in taxes. So this whole idea of being able to accelerate our growth and pay less taxes was just music to our ears.
It's so interesting. I got a question the other day. I met someone and they asked me, when is it too early to get a CPA? and when you're into real estate, and I thought to my self, I'm like, it's never too early to get a good CPA, one that's specific in the niche of real estate, because their knowledge and expertise can save you so much money in the long run, because they know the ins and outs of those things that we as regular people don't understand. And so it was a vital member of your team to get a good CPA to help you with that aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're a middle level manager and you're paying five or six figures, if you can figure out how to cut that tremendously or even eliminate it, and you're picking up a whole new salary in the family. And I'm so excited, because last week I was talking to someone on Tom's team, and they said, looks like for 2023, for the first time, we'll have zero tax liability. You know, our taxes have been greatly reduced, but this would be the first year that we had zero tax liability. So it's pretty exciting to be able to do that legally and ethically, right?
Yes. But it was fantastic also, because you saw the opportunity and then you didn't take no for an answer. And then you ended up meeting Tom himself, which was like incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible. And, you know, able to hire him as our CPA and have been with him for the last, 7 years now. So it's pretty amazing. And people say, yeah, but wasn't he pretty expensive? And I was like, yeah, he was two or three times my other CPA, but he saved me 50 times the amount of taxes. So the cost benefit is there, you know? So you got to look at, you know, what do you get from it, not what the cost is.
Right. And then also the knowledge to just have that conversations and the ability to strategize with them is just invaluable also.
Yeah. I mean, to be able to meet with them a few times a year and then plan how much you need to invest so that you can actually reduce that tax liability. And so because of the cost segregation and accelerated depreciation, we would essentially look at what my wife was going to make, and then we would set our investments based on how much tax we wanted to target savings. It was tremendous to have that kind of control over your financial results. And, you know, having been frustrated for 30 years prior to that, you know, it's very, very refreshing to be on the other side to actually have the con.
So you are now introduced to the world of multifamily syndications and this new way of investing. What did you do with that knowledge after that?
Yeah, so we got that knowledge and we immediately invested. Well, the other thing that Tom did, he introduced us to mentors in the space. He gave us three different mentors and we picked one of them out of Dallas. And what was so great about that was that we were really able to get up the learning curve quickly. And we were able to also get into a community of people that were like us. There were, you know, corporate execs there, business owners, there were doctors and lawyers. So a very good group of people. And, you know, some of them were where we were, but others had already been there, done that, got the T-shirt. So you were able to talk to people that could validate that this was a real thing, you know, because when you hear about it, it's like, can that really be? Why haven't I heard about this? So between the mentoring, between the proof of concept from the community, we got the confidence to move pretty quickly. So I think maybe a month or two later, we made our first passive investment. And then after that, I think we got the first distribution in a few months. And then, you know, we said, okay, this is real. So we started investing. And then it happened that forced us to be very aggressive. My wife, her company was being bought out by a bigger competitor. And so all of her executive compensation vested. So now we had this humongous tax bill. And so it was like, you know, all tax strategies on deck to deal with it. So We did something called conservation easements. Those are not really out. We did oil and gas investments to get the big deductions there. And then we did, you know, multifamily, a number of different commercial real estate syndications, you know, put together a package of different things. And so it kind of forced us quickly out of our discomfort zone or comfort zone so that we could actually not lose, you know, half of the benefit to taxes. So once we had done that, then, you know, we're in the pool and on the deep end. And at that point, we started getting distributions. Yeah, this is really real. And at that point, we were comfortable, confident. And, you know, over the last 7 years, we've been in about 60 passive investments and six active investment, so a few joint ventures and four of them being syndications.
What a great problem to have, don't you think? It's trying to deploy and trying to figure out, right? And then you start gamifying it and like, okay, what can we do with all these things? And how do we find out the best places to allocate the capital that we have coming through so that we can benefit as much as possible? So
yeah, and the timing was awesome because if we had did not have the knowledge we had at that time, you know, we would have given Uncle Sam, you know, half of, you know, this big mother load, and we would have been in a very different place. So it was just providential timing and, you know, all worked out.
So at that time, because you were looking at deploying a lot of capital all at one time, you're probably looking at many, many different deals that were coming onto your emails, onto your plates, people presenting you different opportunities left and right at the same time. How did you determine or how did you look at all these different investments and decide where you're going to place it? Like what stood out to you and how did you mitigate some of those risks or maybe some of that fear that might have stood out in your head at that time?
Yeah. So initially, because I was in a community, there were a lot of people within the community that were syndicating. So you would, you know, have really kind of deep conversations and talk to also people in the group about, hey, is this person a good operator? Do they have integrity? You know, so initially being in that community was awesome because, you know, the deals were kind of self-vetting, right? And then after a year or two, you know, you start to talk to people in the community about what are they doing outside of the group. And so then you start to learn, well, who are the people outside the group that are good syndicators? And then you also just develop your own expertise in terms of how to really do great due diligence and developing your criteria. So, you know, I was listening to lots of podcasts and was able to kind of develop what's the right buy criteria to minimize the risk and keep us out of trouble. And so that's really how we did it. And so it's worked. I mean, of the 60 deals, I mean, because of all the interest rate turmoil that's been going on, we're probably going to have one of our passive investments that we're going to probably lose. And there's another that we're hearing, maybe there might be a capital call. But I think that's pretty good, you know, just, you know, maybe one loss out of 60. Now, it's not over yet. You know, we had tremendous success because COVID, as you know, accelerated many business plans in 2021, 2022. And so most of the deals that we got into 2017, 2018, 2019, by 2022, a lot of those deals had gone full cycle in 2-3 years. And we had a 2x equity multiple on 15 deals that were exited in that time frame. So we did tremendously well there. So when I talk to people about managing risk, they're like, oh, well, yeah, but you got a deal that you might lose. But yeah, but just think about it. I had 15 deals that did a 2x in 3 years. I mean, so if you are staying small, managing your risk, you know, you can have a few losses and it's not going to take you under. Back in the days when I had 20 houses and 20 apartment buildings, if I would have lost, you know, two houses, that would have been devastating. right? So you're dealing with more, you know, more mass, more scale, and, you know, it's just a whole different risk profile.
So how are you approaching your investing, you know, going into 2024, coming out of this great real estate cycle that we just kind of went through in the past, but now it's a little bit more tumultuous now. The environment has changed a little bit in real estate. How are you approaching that now in terms of your investing strategies?
Yeah, so we've decided to go more slowly. The reality is we're still underwriting, but the going more slowly is partly because there's not much that's actually penciling out. The other thing that we decided to do was to give our investors something that really gives great cash flow, since so many multifamily deals over the last 3-4 years were done with adjustable rate debt and they're not cash flowing. And so we actually in November, we came out with a hotel fund of fund that we're offering to our investors because it's got a 9% plus cash flow. So we think that, you know, in the next year or so, we're going to look to offer to our investors, ideally multifamily, since that's the core. But we will look at curating any opportunity in commercial real estate that has strong cash flow, that can double money in 5 or 6 years, that still has a what we call a core need. We like to tie to, you know, something on the lower rung of Maslow's hierarchy, right? Food, clothing, shelter. Hotel is, you know, we're targeting business travel, right? Not tourism travel, which is not a need, whereas business travel is a need. So, you know, looking at self-storage or mobile home communities, but looking at hard assets where there is a definitive need, and then build tailwinds in terms of the markets that you choose so that you minimize the risk. So that's really our approach. So that's what we're executing.
So Kevin, how has real estate investing impacted your life?
Yeah, it has been amazing. I think the big thing is that, you know, when we were younger, starting out, no kids, you know, the dream was to be able to retire early and be able to travel and not have to cut back your lifestyle tremendously, and to be able to give to charity and your church, to be able to, you know, help aging parents, all those kinds of things, and to leave a multi-generational legacy. And so when you're young, you know, you have these big dreams and you don't know if it's going to really happen. And the thing that is so great about this is that our dreams are happening, because so many people that we know, you know, they retired, but they kind of retired to what they had to, you know, what they had to do versus what they dreamed to do. And so the biggest thing for us is, you know, my wife being able to retire early, and all the things that we talked about we wanted to do, you know, we're able to do it now. And, you know, so we pinch ourselves every day. It's absolutely amazing.
And if there was one thing you know now about real estate that you wish you knew when you first started, Kevin, what would that be?
Yeah, I think what we talked about earlier, I wish that I had just known that you could take, you know, $50,000 and you could own a piece of a $50 million, you know, luxury apartment building, or that if you had $100,000 to $200,000, you could actually be the one that is leading other investors to buy that property and be able to, you know, make life better for people that live there, but also bring in investors and help them accelerate their wealth building, because they're still trying to figure it out with the 401k and IRA that's not really making it happen. So I wished I had known that early on, and I would have jumped on that right away had I known.
And what is the one thing that sets successful people apart in real estate investing?
I think it's really, you know, commercial real estate is really a team sport. So I really think what sets people apart are the people that are able to develop relationships of trust, because, you know, you've got to have a sponsorship team, right? Usually you don't have one person that is going and buying a $20 million apartment building. Usually they've got a team of people, or it might be several firms that are partnering together to take down a large asset. So you've got to be able to develop those relationships so that people want you to be on the team, or if you invite them, they agree to come. You've got to be able to have the trust of brokers or sellers when they present a property. They've got to believe that you know what you're doing and that that you will close the deal, right? That you're giving them a fair offer. So, but you've got to have the know, like, and trust quotient there so that people can get to that point of trusting that you're going to be the best one to go with. You've got to do the same thing with your property management team, right? I mean, this is not mom and pop where you're actually taking calls at 2 a.m. or swinging a hammer. You're hiring a third-party property management company. And so do they respect you, trust you, do what, you know, do you have the gravitas that they do what they're supposed to do? And so it's really relationships. The other piece of that is you got to get investors, right? I mean, if you're going to do a syndication deal and you're leading it, you've got to be able to meet people. They've got to know, like, and trust you and believe that you can deliver on the returns that you say you're going to deliver. So the people that I see that are really successful are the people that are able to develop these relationships at multiple different levels and do that successfully.
So, Kevin, where can our listeners find out more about you and what you're doing?
Yes. So they can go to growabilityequity.com. That's three words, growabilityequity.com. And they can read about us. And I have a business partner, and we have blogs and all kinds of fun stuff.
Awesome. Kevin, thank you so much for all of your time today. I appreciate you sharing with us.
Thank you for the opportunity, and wish you a great day.
And thank you for listening to our podcast today, brought to you by Bonavest Capital. We would really appreciate it if you can go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. Also, please don't forget to subscribe so you can always get the latest episodes. You can also connect with us on Facebook, How Did They Do It Real Estate. We'd love to hear your feedback and any topics that you're interested in for future episodes. If you're anything like Zayla and me and believe that real estate investing is a great way to create passive income and build long-term wealth, check out our free apartment syndication due diligence checklist for passive investors at bonavestcapital.com/checklist. Zayla and I created this checklist for ourselves as we evaluated different multifamily syndication opportunities as a passive investor. So we would love to share it with you so you can use it as a resource as well. Download your free copy today at bonavestcapital.com/checklist. Lastly, to learn more about us, you can go to bonavestcapital.com and fill out the contact us page so you can speak to us directly. Nothing on the show should be considered as specific personal advice. Please consult your legal, tax, and real estate professionals for individualized advice.